Okay, Matthew chapter 13, guys. And we will break new ground here with verse 18. It says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and on with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and careth, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30." If you'll remember that Jesus in the last several verses, beginning in verse 11, is talking more in a private setting to his disciples, not necessarily just the 12 disciples. Perhaps there were other true believers at this point. There were that there were likely just, but speaking exclusively to those that belong to him in a private setting. And here he explains the parable of the sower. He does not necessarily identify in this particular text who the sower is, but it stands to reason that he took for granted that they already knew who the sower would be. But to make sure we understand who the actual sower is, we just have to look at another passage, and that's found over in, it's in the same chapter here in verse 37. Look across the page, if you will. And he's speaking of the wheat and the tares. And he says, "He answereth and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." And so though he doesn't make it clear in the parable of the sower, he does, it's implied, and it's pretty easy to understand, that he's speaking of the Word of God being sown by God himself or by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in a broader sense, each time you and I communicate the Word of God or the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, we're being sowers of the seeds of the kingdom, okay? In a broader sense, in a more technical, narrow sense, then it is the Son of Man or the Lord Jesus Christ that's really doing the spiritual work. He's the sower, but we participate in that sowing. The Bible, as you know it, is the written word, but Jesus is the living word. And so we can sow the written word, but we need the help or the regenerating work of the living word to do the rest. And so it's a partnership in this sowing situation. But the main teaching we find here in the explanation of this parable has to do with not so much with the seed itself, but with the souls that the seed is sown into, which represents the different heart conditions of people receiving the Word of God. So we're going to get right into it and talk about each one of these as we go. Verse 19, one more time, it says, "When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside." Now I want you to remember, we went over the parable a few weeks ago, just the actual parable itself, not this explanation. But you'll remember that the wayside in that parable was a reference to the hard-packed pathways that surrounded the fields, or perhaps that even cut through the fields, because it was common in ancient times to do that, point A to point B was from straight through someone's field, and then people started traveling that, and a path developed. But whatever the case is, those paths would get hard and trodden down, And so when the seed would be sown, that seed, because the ground was no longer cultivated, but it was packed, that seed would just land on the surface and just lay there. And as it says in the parable, the birds of the air would devour it. As it says in the parallel passage over in Luke, that that it would be trodden underfoot. And so either the birds got it or it just got stomped into the hard ground. Either way, the condition of the soil was not such for there to bring forth any fruit, okay? But notice the thing about it is, was there anything wrong with the seed itself? No. There was nothing wrong with the seed. It had all to do with the condition of the soil itself, okay? So just as the Word of God has zero deficiency, there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. It can do anything that it sets out to do. It's the condition of the heart, condition of the person that's receiving the Word of God that determines whether it's going to take hold or not. The Word will always do its work if the heart is receptive. So we see this this picture of a hardened heart is a picture of a person that is unconcerned about spiritual things, that has not really receptive to God or the things of God. They're indifferent towards the gospel, and so they really don't give it a chance. That's what we see in this first soil type, if you will, here. And so the reality of it is the Word of God, they hear the Word of God, they hear the gospel perhaps at church or somebody tells them, and they just have no interest in it at all. And so Satan sees that as an opportunity to interfere, if you will, and catch away, as our text says, the Word of God. Now, can he steal the Word of God and make the Word of God that it's not able to do its job? No, he can't do that. But he may take that person, say a person who's been invited to church, maybe someone you've invited or I've invited, and so they come to church and they hear the Word of God, it doesn't faze them. Their heart is not such that they respond to it. They're unresponsive. And so Satan may see that as an opportunity to urge them to never return. To see it as, hey, that going to church stuff is just a waste of time, or that church house is full of hypocrites, so I'm not going back, this sort of thing. Because Satan knows that the continued exposure to the Word of God is harmful to his work. If that person comes and even remotely is receptive to what's taking place, then they return again. And that's our desire, is that people continue to come to the house of God and let the Word of God do the job. There's no reason for me to get up here and beg and plead for people to get saved if the Word of God's not doing its job, and it does do its job. And so that person, Satan knows that if they remain under the sound of the Word of God long enough, that they may begin to soften and they may begin to respond, if you will, to the Holy Spirit of God that's dealing with them. And so he is very quick to get that person out from under the sound of the Word of God. He'll snatch it away, if you will, or take it away where it's not heard anymore, where that person is not exposed anymore. And the catching away of the seed is his desire and his motive. Okay, so we find that heart condition there is unresponsive heart. So Satan steals away the Word of God, and then we find another heart condition in verse 20. It says, "But he that receiveth the seed in stony places." Let me remind you real quickly what we talked about. Stony places. It's a reference to places where there's bedrock underneath. Okay, big stones, boulders, bedrock, and there's only so much soil on top, shallow soil. And so it will go on now with that being understood. He that receiveth the seed in stony places is same as he that heareth the Word of God and on with joy receiveth it, yet he hath no root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the Word, by and by he is offended. So this speaks of a person who does respond to the Word of God, okay, but they do so in a superficial sense. It's a superficial response. It has no depth. It has no root system, if you will. And again, back to the analogy of that particular soil type, it's soil that rests just above bedrock. And so, yes, the seed lands on it, the seed germinates, and the seed even begins to produce something above ground. But because the bedrock is there and it's so shallow, the dirt is, no roots begin to go down below ground. And so it's a superficial plant, if you will. It has the appearance of something, but in reality of it, it has no foundation, no root system underneath. And so it's going to be easily destroyed. And so I'm afraid when this coming through the spiritual side of this picture or this metaphor, oftentimes this shallow response or this superficial response to the things of God is the result of shallow evangelism, shallow preaching, in the sense of where we focus on the blessings of salvation. Those things are declared, which is good. We should talk about the good things that result from salvation. But the true problem of a person apart from God is something that has to be made clear, and that's the sin problem, okay? In other words, that person's sin problem, if we just kind of come in there with, oh, it's great to serve Jesus and you need to love God and respond to Him for salvation, but they don't understand their sin problem, then they won't address their sin problem. And the sin problem is what has them separated from God to start with, okay? And so their decision to follow Christ does nothing to take care of the big problem, which is sin, okay? It doesn't, the decision they're making has no repentance to it. And so therefore it's no true salvation. It's shallow, it's a shallow, superficial response to the gospel. The sin that created the problem to start with is not addressed and not repented of. And so that person doesn't have true salvation. Their response is hey, I know I need Jesus, and so I take Him. Okay, but the reality of it is, if there's no born-again experience, no true life-changing regeneration, because you've repented of your sins, then there's without any born-again experience, there's no depth, there's no roots, if you will. The reality of it is the new birth was not there. And so there's nothing to grow those roots, nothing to go deep and give you a substantial foundation, okay? And so that person has responded, again, in a superficial way and gets along real well, probably likes the things of God, likes church, whatever, but that's why the skies are clear, okay? When the storms of tribulation or persecution, as it refers to here, comes in, then that's a whole different story. That like the sun scorching that he refers to, that puts heat on them, and then they fall away. When the storm rolls in and everything begins to pressure them, then it's revealed that there was no foundation to start with. I'm stumbling through this, so let me just back up to Matthew chapter 7 with you, if you will, just a couple pages back. Let me regroup with this scripture right here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. It says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened," "doeth them not." I'm messing this one up, okay? "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man," watch this, "that built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." What was the problem there? The problem was that they didn't build a foundation. They didn't have a foundation. They built. You see, like this person that's being referred to in this parable of the sower, they build, they respond, if you will, to the things of Christ. The Bible says with joy they received them, okay? But because there's no true salvation, there's no foundation. So they built a Christian life, but it wasn't a true Christian life because there wasn't a foundation of true salvation, okay? I hope that's clear. But the lack of foundation in Matthew chapter 7 is synonymous with the lack of root here in this parable that we're studying. And so when the sun bears down hot on that rootless plant, it quickly withers away. And I want you to notice the cause of the tribulation and the persecution that's spoken of here in verse 21. It says, "For a while, they endureth for a while, but when tribulation and persecution arises," watch this, "because of the word, by and by they are offended." Now notice that, because it's important we understand that. Because of the word. We don't want to miss that. Because everyday trials, everyday tribulation does not cause that person to leave the things of God. In fact, their falling away is a result of tribulation and persecution that comes because of the word of God, you see. The trials and difficulties drive us to God. I don't know whether you've noticed that or not, which is a good thing. When we go through hard times, we turn to God. Even the lost person, if they have any knowledge whatsoever of God, when trial and tribulation, many times they'll turn. We saw that in 9/11, back 21 years ago, when everything was falling apart, or seemed that way in the eyes of many people, they came to the church. Our crowds were bigger. People turned to the church. People were asking the preacher, "What's going on?" You know, this sort of thing. We saw it with COVID. Now, they didn't run to the church because the nature of the pandemic was to stay away. But the fact is they started live streaming, they started watching, we started having people watch our church and never watched before, and people that weren't even in our town. You see, people turn to God because of difficult times. But in this case, it's talking about the person that has this superficial attachment to Christ is basically offended when they're persecuted or tribulation comes because of their following or perceived following of Christ. In other words, when tough decisions need to be made, when maybe perhaps their friends are ostracizing them because they're Christians or are perceived Christians or because they stand up for what's right. And so all of this, when everything get tough and the heat is on, they are offended. Now that word offended there is an interesting word. It's the word we get scandal from, or scandalize. It's a Greek word we get that from. And one of the intimations of that word is to entice to sin. And I'll just say this and I'll let you go. So it's telling us that when the heat is on, this person that has this superficial attachment to Christ, they really don't have the depth and the foundation of salvation. When the heat is on, and because they're Christians and they're having to make the Christianity's making demands upon their life, they're going to have to make some tough decisions. They're enticed to sin. Are they enticed to go out and commit sins like blatant sins? No, they're enticed to have sins of omission. In other words, to stop doing the things of God that they had been doing. You see, they're enticed to walk away from the things of God. And that's what Jesus implies here by the persecution arising because of the word of God. It's just when Christianity's making demands upon them, they're going to have to make some tough decisions. They're going to have to weather some storms. And then rather than do that, they are enticed to sin and they step away from the things of God. I'll leave you this one scripture, 1 John 2:19. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, and they might not, that they might be made manifest that they were not of us." See the point? The superficial, when the heat's on, and they're gone forever, you know that they weren't Christians. They weren't true Christians. And I don't know anybody's heart. I'm just teaching you what Jesus is teaching us, okay? There's no foundation there. And so when the sun got hot, they were scorched and they walked away. Okay? All right. Appreciate you guys. Let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed. Hope you have a good remainder of the week. Going to get chilly. Be sure and get your pipes wrapped and all this. It's going to start getting chilly at night. So, Stacy, will you lead us in prayer, please?